Please remember, the views and opinions expressed by this show or any other show on DB Radio and its guests are strictly those of said individuals and do not reflect those of the DB Radio staff, nor the staff of Dysfunctional Veterans.
The following includes conversation relating to cryptocurrency. The information provided and discussed is strictly for educational and informational purposes only. Any use of any information is done so at your own risk. DV Radio LLC, as well as the hosts and guests of the show, take no responsibility if you wish to use any of the information in your daily life. Again, the topics discussed are strictly for informational and educational purposes only.
I am Chris, the CEO.
My name is Paul, I'm the COO.
I am Chris, aka Little Chris, the Chief Technical Officer.
My name is Zach, I'm the Chief Marketing Officer, better known as the WEN Marketing Officer, because it never gets done, right?
Of Finity Innovation LLC. Hour-long show, we will talk about Finity, crypto in general, DeFi, blockchain technology, and just talk about anything, whatever the hell we feel like talking about.
Get to know us at a little more personal level.
Babbling nonsense.
Love these guys.
Show me the money! Show me the money!
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to another Affinity Protocol podcast. We want to thank you all for being here yet again. I know this is probably the most interesting and fascinating podcast you've ever listened to in your life. And thank you to WDVRDVRadio.net, where you are hopefully listening to us today. This morning, we are recorded. It is Father's Day, so I want to say happy Father's Day to all the dads out there and those of you acting in that role. And we do have three dads with us today, myself. Chris, you have any kids we don't know about?
Yeah. I don't know if I have kids I don't know about. That's
what I was saying. Said like a true Marine right there.
Right? That's true.
That's why I had to ask. I don't want to leave you out, my man. So once again, happy Father's Day. And I do want to take a minute because I know, Father's Day, you know, it's a little different than Mother's Day, right? You know, you can say it's not all you want. It is. And I talk about this all the time, my wife, and I'm kind of curious how you guys feel about this. You know, when you got Father's Day comes around, but then you got Mother's Day, you got Valentine's Day, anniversaries, all this other stuff that you see, all these commercials for like, buy a $50,000 ring or buy a new Mercedes or something like that for, you know, the mother or your wife or whoever is in your life. Father's Day comes around, they're like, go buy us some hedge trimmers, a new lawnmower, a drill, have them go work on some project that you've been asking them to work on. Like, it's crazy.
That's true.
You know, like, what do you guys do for Father's Day? Like, what's it all about in your house?
Let me tell you right off the rip that you would think that like Mother's Day, Valentine's Day, stuff like that, all women want is to have their little hangry appetite curbed and you just get them some food, right?
Yeah.
Nah, man. Father's Day, all we doing is going out to breakfast. Don't get me wrong. You guys know me. You know I love a good breakfast spread. So, like, I'm okay with that.
Yep.
But I'll give you the quick example that Mother's Day this year was, oh, I want to sleep in. Oh, I want to go do this shopping. And again, love hanging out with my kid. And I'm hanging out with him all day so mom can do whatever the hell she wants to do. But come Father's Day, we've already talked about how the yard needs to get mowed this weekend and there's all this other stuff to do. So it's not really like, hey, we're going to drop some stuff and let you veg on the couch. Cause I mean, God, why did someone not put Father's Day in football season? Come on. Now. Know, like, that was stupid.
Seriously.
Cause then I'd have an excuse to be like, nah, I'm watching football all goddamn day. Bring me beers. Kid can come hang out.
Depending on what happens with the Celtics tonight, you might have game 7 on Father's Day this year. But I mean, how often does that happen? You know, I'm not really a basketball fan, but just saying.
Don't get me wrong, though. I'm going to be excited about the breakfast spread.
I feel you. I know Zach's going to be watching that game, though. I know he's a Celtics fan of basketball, but I'm not really. I don't know about Chris. Chris, you're a basketball fan, too, right?
Yeah. I'm on the fence.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah, that'd be sick. They play
Same as that, you know, like we said, this is recorded. So game six is tonight. So hopefully on Father's Day, I can watch game seven. That'd be dope. So my side, answer your question. This is actually the first year that I'm going to be celebrating Father's Day. Every year before this, I've just done the same thing I do any other day, to be honest with you. And but no, this year will be the first time that it'll be celebrated for me. So kind of excited.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah, it's a good time. It's pretty much don't celebrate at my house either. Like, you know, I don't really do anything. Even like when we, again, talk about eating, right? Oh, let's barbecue or something. Well, guess who's doing the cooking? So like, that's me. You didn't know.
That's why I got to do the breakfast spread, kid, because then you ain't doing shit.
Yeah, exactly. You know, in previous years, I'd go play golf or whatever and you know, that kind of thing. I'm not doing that this year. You know, Paul, speaking of which, we got to get out and play golf sometime soon because it's
already mid-June. I brought that up for Father's Day and I was like, we should go. I was like, maybe I'll call Chris and we'll go hit the links. And I was like, I thought about it and I was like, man. And I made the mistake of saying this out loud because, you know, my wife likes to take those little jabs at me every chance she can.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah, but I haven't been to the practice. Like, I haven't been to the driving range at all this year. I've just been like really busy. And she dead ass looks me right in the fucking eye and goes, yeah, has your crypto turned around so that we can afford buying you all them damn golf balls?
Oh, damn.
I'm not even kidding.
Oh, man. Damn.
Stick a there was the portfolio.
Right.
At that point, I was basically like, all right, so now in order to fund golf, I'm going to have to take out a second mortgage on the house or something like that because I ain't standing for this.
Oh, man. Said you better open up that wallet.
Tell her, hey, you know, you gotta hit her with it. If you can't deal with me during the dips, you can't see me at the all-time high.
Oh no, she just making mad fun of me. Well, because so I went and I switched cell carriers and I went to T-Mobile and I got a new phone and stuff like that. So, you know, obviously I went to the safe and got my my recovery phrase so that I could, you know, get the new wallet imported on the phone and whatnot. Well, not new wallet, but so I went and did that, right? Tell me which token was the one that didn't get included in Trust Wallet. So when I finished importing that wallet, tell me how it said I had like $400 total. And I was like, wait, what the fuck is going on? I lost it. And then man. I was like, oh, man, like none of my shit's listed here.
Oh, that's funny. Pretty funny, man.
It was not good. That was not funny. That was scary.
Well, tell me that was the team wallet you was importing, because if it's your personal wallet, then I'm going to have to ask you why you ain't staked. Call you right out.
I'll tell you right now, my personal wallet ain't staked for the same reason my team wallet ain't staked.
More to
the people.
I got you. I mean, my personal staked, but, you know, hey, I got you in mind too. But yeah, so I don't want to leave Chris out. Chris, you got anything to add? Because I know, you know, you may have some kids out there we don't know about. You may not, but, you know, what's your plan?
Okay, no. Come on. He throws a beer up and says, hey, any of them kids out there, mine.
Right.
Have a good one.
You got any plans, bro?
Study for CSSP and finish my home lab.
So he's doing what every other father's doing, which is working the ass off on Father's Day. Welcome to the club.
Oh, no, that's awesome. That's good stuff, man. So, you know, yeah, basically like Paul said, we're all just going to be doing our normal day. And I don't want to throw any shade out there to all the mothers. You know, I've talked a little bit of smack about Mother's Day and some other stuff. But, you know, you got to understand it is a little different. But I will say on the same token, I personally, and I can only speak for myself, I'm not really big on making a big deal out of me, right? Like, I don't look for gifts. I don't really care. I just want, you know, like I tell my kids, if you want to get me something, go make it, right? I prefer you just make me a little something, you know, personal, and otherwise don't worry about it, you know, just be nice to me for the day.
We talk smack, but it's also Father's Day, so it's like the one time out of the year that we can talk a little bit smack. And at the same time, like, yeah, a lot of guys just aren't big on celebrating themselves. I damn near forgot about my birthday this year, so I mean,
yeah, right. I did actually have somebody ask me when your birthday was. I forget who it was. I think it was Waffle asked me what month your birthday was because he was trying to guess your sign.
Oh, God. I can only imagine how that went.
And I couldn't remember. So luckily you're not my wife, because I couldn't remember your birthday.
Well, I would hope I'm not your wife. I think we'd have some bigger issues at that point.
Right. Oh, shit. Damn, there was something else that that we just mentioned. I was gonna bring up.
Hold up. Do you remember what he was guessing my sign was?
I don't.
Damn, that's important.
I don't. I told him I thought your birthday might have been in December, but I'm probably way off.
Yeah, you are. Bro, it's okay, though, because you know what? Your anniversary is in December, and that's the important one to remember. So you good. You good.
So is my wife's.
Your birthday, Paul's birthday just happened, didn't it? Didn't your birthday just happen?
My son's did.
Oh, right. No, yeah.
Man. Sorry, Paul. We all don't know your birthday.
I ain't telling nobody either. Because then somebody can be showing up at my house and be like, hey, man, you barbecuing for your birthday, right?
Oh, man. Yeah. Don't worry about it.
I can throw them New Balances and them jean shorts, man.
I actually don't have jean shorts, man. Cargo. You have to do the ones with the cargo pockets. Those are the best for utility while you're at the grill.
Oh, I do have those.
Exactly. Wait, you have something other than khakis?
They khaki cargo shorts.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Okay, there it is. Man, I swear, man, your closet looked like Peter Griffin's or something like that. You got nothing but the same shit hung up there.
Yep. I do. I own two pairs of jeans. That's it. Actually, I got to get another pair, maybe two, because I just realized when I was wearing them to work the other day, there's a couple little tiny holes right above my right knee. I didn't see until I was sitting down and, you know, my knee was bent and they opened up a little. I was like, oh, shit.
And you got casual Friday coming up.
I work from home on Friday, so we
good. Oh, that's right.
It's going to be real casual for me. Yeah. So, that's what I want to talk about. You know, shifting gears a little bit off of Father's Day. Unless anybody else got anything to add to that, I don't want to just kind of move away, but.
Nah, you good.
You can always bring it back if you want, you know, your show. So shifting gears a little bit. It is Sunday now, when this is going to air. We did kind of put out today, or at least I did out on Twitter, that we are looking to finally finish up that business plan. So I do want to mention a little bit about that and why there was so much delay and all the other stuff. And I'm sure most of you understand if you've been following along, but I'm going to tell you anyway. Obviously, with we start off as an LLC, went to, you know, corporation, and then you know, with us moving into next gen, we have what, at least two new products. We had one that we already launched. We have another one that is in progress, and another one that we are going to be putting out that we haven't even announced yet. Then we have another one that's going to come shortly after the migration, and then we also have the exchange and all this stuff happening. Dates changed, new things got added. Bottom line is a lot of stuff's been changing over the last few months. So obviously we want to reflect that as accurate as possible. We did some little bit of reorganization that you'll see in there. As a matter of fact, some of it has to be voted on at our next board meeting, which will be in 3 days after this is aired. So there are some moving pieces that we've been dealing with. So that's kind of what the big delay was. Plus there's a lot of information, things we want to add in there.
Just in case anyone is curious as well, it isn't that like we don't have the organization of it structured, but when you're looking at going into an investment round, you know, you get that very slim elevator pitch, but it's not even a personal elevator pitch. It's done only with the advertising that we put forth for that fundraising round. So it's very difficult to say like a catch-all at the end and say, oh, there's much more, look at this and this and this and this resource for details, because that initial question from any investor is going to come up and say, well, why didn't you include that? So it's not that we're just trying to jam as much crap in there as we can, is we have to have that information be up to date all the way to the absolute second that we start that fundraising round. Otherwise, it looks like we're potentially misleading, or there's just stuff that we haven't thrown in there, and it makes it look like we are unorganized on our end. So that's why that business plan has to be absolutely perfect for the exact first minute that we go live with the fundraising round of any sort.
Yeah, that's a good point, too. And obviously, with the economy changing and things going on right now, we have to make adjustments because, again, like Paul said, we want to make sure it's accurate. And as truthful as possible, again, business plan, especially when you get into the financial piece, there's a lot of projections. So we won't 100% know exactly how it's going to work out, but they're projections and we want to make those as accurate as possible for the next 5 years. So that being said, by the time you are listening to this, more than likely it'll be either done or just about to be done, passed along to the board, and hopefully more than likely again voted on Tuesday, and then we can make it public at some point after that. So yeah, that's the update on that. And before we get into anything else while we're talking about this, because I just got reminded that that we are going into the next gen in August. So when we get closer, we'll do more announcements. There's going to be a migration period, manual auto migration. We're going to give you all the detail on that, but this is your quick reminder that come August, we are looking to migrate contracts, which will be migrating your tokens in August. So staking and all that good stuff will be adjusted accordingly. 90-day pool has already been locked out. You'll continue to earn, but you can no longer add. You can also pull out at any time. So there will be also a period of time where the 30-day pool will go through the same thing. And then when we get really close, we'll ask everybody to unstake, during that period of time before the new contract's launched. Again, if you forget to, something happens, no worries. Nobody's going to lose any tokens, but it just makes things easier and smoother if as many people as possible can just follow along with the guidelines that we're going to set forth. But that is that. Got that reminder out of the way. Not as smooth as I would have liked to say it, but I choked it out.
Yeah, you all right tonight, man?
I told you it's this damn corona.
Okay, you might want to be a little more specific because we know the backstory of corona, and it just made it sound like you have the coronavirus.
Oh, that's true. I didn't even think of that. I didn't even put that together. I might have to drink in this. All right, quick backstory on that is
Jesus.
I've spent the better part of at least probably 10 years of drinking nothing but IPAs, browns, whatever, a lot of ales, craft beers, that kind of thing. I used to drink a lot of Corona back in my 20s, maybe even early 30s, which was very, very long time ago.
You old.
I was, and I'm really not. I'm 43. So
that's old.
But anyway, I went into the package store and I said, you know what? I think I want to get some Coronas. I haven't had them in a while. It's summer. It's a light beer. And I'm kind of regretting it now because after not having them for so long, I didn't realize how not good they are. So, yeah. That's that.
Man, you know, different from a white girl during pumpkin spice season, which are little IPAs.
That's true, but they're delicious. But again, summertime, out in the heat, light beer. I'm not a fan of Sam Summer. I think you like that crap, right, Paul? Sam Summer?
I like their Porch Rocker.
Oh, okay.
Something more than their Summer.
I don't like it at all.
To each his own. You should have come over last couple of weeks, man. I put that last 12er of Oktoberfest I had in the fridge and drank that up.
You drank it all, huh?
Oh, 100%.
Yes.
When beer gets into my fridge, it has an expiration date. Not the expiration date of when they say you should best enjoy it by or whatever. It's an expiration date of it getting drank.
I could have traded you, man. I got some Coronas.
You're a little late there, guy.
Damn, I'd have gave you 2 for 1.
But hey, you know what? It's summer, so we're just a couple short months away from it being Oktoberfest season again. So,
oh, that is true. Actually, yeah, you're right. Almost exactly 2 months.
Yeah. So then you get the stock back up. Maybe you'll take a play out of Paul's book this year, and you'll do what I did, and you'll buy some and just stash it in the basement so that coming around this time next year, you have some Oktoberfest you can throw in the fridge for when you're done with IPAs for a little bit.
That's a good call. I'm going to see if my local package store will take BUSD. We'll see.
maybe this time next year.
Yeah. Oh, shit. But, you know, that's how my day's been going. What's everybody else? What's your day going? What, Chris? I'm going to ask you, because actually I haven't talked to you yet today. What's up, man?
Nothing much. Just been working, setting up vulnerability scanners at work, working on my home lab. That's really it. Oh, right now I'm working on fixing APIs for BitValley, small fix. Other than that, it's been all right.
Man, you have to take a break.
I know. 5 minutes. Yeah,
I do. I feel like since the last time that we were all working at the same job site, I mean, you probably do in the house, but you probably don't take as many little vape breaks, go outside and just get some fresh air.
Nah, I just vape in my room.
Man, you need to get outdoors, man. I'm worried. You still black?
No, right?
I'm actually outdoors a lot. Lots of yard work, working on my import vehicle. Yeah. I touch grass.
He's wearing a helmet. He's got his phone in front of him, like with the screen on it. Got all kinds of shit going on while he's cutting the grass. Man, for real. You know what you need? We need to hook him up with the labor laws so he can post it on the wall in his room so he can take his 15-minute break, 30-minute lunch, 15-minute afternoon break, or we gonna have problems.
Not wrong. Well, what we should do, too, is I think that obviously we'll do it off air, but we need to revisit the calendar for coming down to my house and doing a cookout or something like that, because especially if I end up getting that that Masterbuilt gravity smoker. I got this, you know, it's a propane one, but I'll have this vertical stack smoker that I can give to somebody who will treat it good.
Oh yeah. I won't treat it good. So
I'm talking to the other Chris there.
I'll teach him
how I do my ribs, and I'll give him a smoker so he can go get started. Damn, and then you're never going to hear from him again, because all he's going to do is be smoking meats.
See, me like, I don't know if you ever see the video with Mark Zuckerberg. He's like, I got my sweet baby Rays in the back.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, hell no.
I thought you'd about to talk about the one where he's wearing a helmet going paddleboarding or something like that.
Say what?
You never seen that? It's like,
I don't think so. Hold on. I don't think so. You gonna show it to all the listeners?
No. I'm just looking so I can show you guys so you can laugh about it. But he was like out paddleboarding or something like that, and he has like a helmet on.
Oh Christ. Well, hey. Robots gotta protect their skulls too.
That's exactly right.
Oh, shit.
Exactly right. I'm more along the lines of, you know, summertime. Maybe not the best time for it, but fuck it. Try and get some games in, man. It's hard getting together and getting groups in and just playing some video games and chilling, getting some decompression stages going.
Yeah, and it's funny. We were just talking about this couple days. Well, actually, we've been talking about it for about a week, because everybody's been, you know, all of our military friends have been tied up in their 2 weeks a year guard duty. And, you know, I was joking with one of them, because you got to remember, we all have been in, you know, in the guard, most people are together for many, many years, because you don't get PCS, you don't get moved around. You just, unless you want to, you stay at the same base for decades. So we've all known each other for quite a while. And a lot of these guys, I met them when they were in their early, early 20s. And again, I seem to be the older guy, no matter what, even though at the time I was only in like early 30s at the time, if that. And I might even been late 20s. And, you know, they would come up for drills, or they'd do whatever, and they'd party hard, you know, drinking, all this other stuff, and still get up for drill or going to work for AT. And now, fast forward 10 plus years later, they go in for these drills or these ATs, and they go into a cave. Like, I call them up or I'll send them a message, and I'll be like, hey, you know, we got some time. We're going to play some games tonight or whatever. And remind you, these guys are people that play video games pretty damn consistently, at least 4 to 5 nights a week. But when this stuff happens, they disappear. Like, oh, I can't do that. I got to get up early. I got duty. Like, can't even play video games anymore. You know, when, you know, back in the 20s, they were out partying all the time. It was just, it was a funny conversation to just see how time progressed and how everything changed. And they used to give me so much shit, you know, how come you're not going to come out with us? You know, and I'd give them the same story they're giving me now about video games. It's pretty funny.
It's typical because it's, you know, we both know the same person that I'm talking about here, but we joke around about his old man naps and stuff like that. But that's a real thing for him. That dude,
it is.
You can tell that dude, hey, man, you got 20 minutes, go nap it up. And he'll be out for the next 6 hours and just completely like he'll still go to bed on time and like get like a normal night of sleep. But you give that man one opportunity to get a little snoozer in and he's out. He's gone. Like how many times have we been like waiting to try to connect with him to. You know, check out a new update on a game or something like that. And he's just not there. And we're like, yo, where is he? And he gets on like 2 days later. Yeah. And you're like, yo, where did you go? He's like, oh, I fell asleep. And like, we always have to ask, like, for the last 2 days?
That's funny.
Yeah, he did that the other day. He sent me a message. He said, hey, are you going to be on tonight? And I said, well, I'll be on. I don't know what I got going on, but just hit me up. And if I got some time, we'll play. And so he sends me a message and he's like, hey, I really want to play tonight. I've been on for a while. If you know, can you get on for a couple hours? I said, yeah. And this was about 15 minutes before he said he was going to be on. And then I start sending messages when I get on. I'm like, hey, man, I'm on. I got some time.
He's
nothing.
Out.
Nothing. Yeah. The next day he goes, oh, man, I'm sorry, man. I fell asleep.
Yo, that dude needs to get tested for narcolepsy. I'm not even kidding. He really does. For real. Like, you remember seeing him at work, too, when he looked like he was like about to hit face on keyboard. And you're like, yo.
Yeah, man, it's crazy. I mean, I don't get me wrong. I love sleep, and I can fall asleep pretty much anywhere. My wife gives me a lot of shit about it because when we were on the plane, I was sleeping. You know, I was able to take naps in the hotel, like in between doing things when we went away, without a problem. I'll sleep on the floor. I don't care wherever I can shut my eyes. But
in a nice spa,
wherever, you know. But if I got something going on, I can stay awake, you know, or I have a meeting or, you know, whatever, you know, appointment, whatever's going on. So I don't know. I just think that's just hilarious.
Well, I also feel like I need to interject here really quickly and do mention that I know that we haven't talked a lot about crypto on this episode for the podcast of Affinity Protocol. I'll just be blunt as hell and say it just because you guys know me for being like that. There's not a whole lot to talk about. The market is just absolute garbage right now. We do have some crypto stuff that we'll bring up, and we're going to talk a little bit about crypto and gaming. But in case anyone's listening right now and they're expecting like some monumental crypto talk for the next 30 to 35 minutes, I'm just letting you know right now, there's not a whole lot going on in the crypto world other than just, you know, batting down the hatch and waiting.
Yeah. And the few big stories that are out there that don't revolve around Affinity anyway. But like we said, anyway, from the beginning, this podcast, we want to make this more than just talking about Affinity, more than just talking about crypto, as we do definitely always want to talk about that stuff and investing and whatever else we possibly can. But we also want to use this podcast for an opportunity for you guys to get a better window into who we are as people, our lives, what we enjoy doing, and just having a good time. So this is going to be one of those episodes for the most part where we're just going to kick back, talk about whatever the heck is going on and kind of fun things are going on in our lives. But I think, you know, Chris, right? I think you want to talk about something to do with something.
That's accurate. Yeah, he definitely wanted to talk about something that had to do with something.
Are you talking about Celsius?
Yeah, you want to talk about Celsius, and then I want to circle back to what Paul was talking about afterwards, because I got something to say to some people that hopefully are listening. But go ahead, Chris.
Well, basically, the quick rundown of Celsius was that they paused trading on their exchange. And basically the reasoning why they paused trading was quote unquote, because the market conditions.
Yeah. That's just not right.
Which
look, I understand the market is down, but you take it on the chin when it happens and you rise back up. You can't play the game where you're going to say, well, no, I'm only going to market myself as profitable and halt trading just because the market's not in a good place.
But here's the thing also, on their exchange, people have margins and stuff like that. People can't even pay their margins because they stopped all funds, deposits, withdrawals, transfers, everything. So if they have a margin, it's more than likely going to get liquidated.
Ooh,
yeah, you get called on it. That's really bad.
Like what happened with Robinhood, whereas, you know, essentially, I mean, just in this area, right, whereas the market was going to go down low enough to where Celsius probably would have been liquidating. Correct me if I'm wrong, Chris. That Celsius probably would have been in a position to get liquidated, much like Luna was. And so they off-ramped money. And I did see that they moved, it was like $300 million to FTX right before it happened. And then they paused trading for everybody.
Yeah, and the problem with the way they operated is they did operate very much like a bank, even though if you listen to the CEO, he had a very deep hatred for banks. But that company did operate very much like a bank. They did lending, and they did, put your money in and you can earn a high yield. I think their yield was like 10%. So people would put their money in just very much like a bank. You know, when you go deposit your money into a savings account or a checking account, the reason you get interest is because they are lending your money out to people that are looking for home loans or personal loans or whatever it may be. They collect the interest on that. They keep some for themselves, or most of it. And then they give you a small percentage kickback. Interest earned on the money that they're lending out, on your money that they're lending out. So they were basically doing the same thing. They were lending out your crypto as you're depositing it, promising you a 10% yield on the crypto you were storing in their platform. Then when all this stuff started happening, there was a lot of people that were trying to withdraw, right? So if you know that the market's going to shit, and you want to withdraw, but they took the majority of the funds and already lent it out. So for simple numbers, let's say they had a total of 10 million in assets and they lent out 9 million, but then 3 million is being requested to withdraw. Well, there's a $2 million disparity there. So where's that coming from? And that's another reason why they paused it, because if somebody can't withdraw, if they don't have the funds to give you when you're requesting a withdrawal because they lent it out to somebody else who hasn't fulfilled the payment yet, they don't have the money to give you. So that's a problem.
Yeah, but that's not, that can't be on the fault of the investor. That's the fault on the institution for making said promises that they can't keep.
Oh, 1,000% it's on them. You know, but at the same time,
which is even worse, that they can't even come up with any kind of IOU system or anything like that to say, like, market conditions are what they are. Sorry, we fucked up by making these promises that we couldn't keep. Because, I mean, the same thing, it's a very one-sided conversation, right? Because what happens if you have a mortgage and you don't pay your mortgage? You have a car bill, you don't pay your car bill.
Yeah.
Your shit gets assets get taken from you.
Yep.
Because you didn't fulfill your end of the agreement. So now you have just because there's some bigger institution, they have this agreement that they can't fulfill. And what? They just get to hop out of by saying, hey, I'm just going to halt trading until the market gets better because I can't afford the promises I made. Like, no, hell no.
Well, and last I seen, they hired a restructure lawyer, which is essentially a bankruptcy lawyer that is just called something a little different. But, you know, restructure, which a lot of times does include bankruptcy. And I did see something floating around social media. I didn't look at it myself, so take this for what it is. Go do your own research. But somebody showed a screenshot of their terms of service that had a clause in it that if they filed for bankruptcy, that they do not have any obligation to return your funds. That's awful.
Yeah, that is, and that kind of highlights a lot of what people say in the crypto world when they say like, hey, before you get into something, make sure you do your own research. Like that is one of the most important things that we can't stress enough, because most people will sit there and just click through the terms and service and agree to it because they want to get on. They want to trade. They don't want to miss out. They have that FOMO. And all of a sudden you just realize later after the fact, after it's too late, that you might have agreed to these conditions where an organization has the opportunity to halt this trading because they can't make up on their end of the deal that they said they would. And then they end up filing for bankruptcy, and lo and behold, guess what? They don't even have to pay you back. Now your money is just gone.
Yep. Yep. And they over-leveraged is basically what it is. They should have done two things. One, not lent out, right, as much as they did. But, you know, you can see where the greed kicked in, because if you don't lend out as much as you possibly can, you're missing out on potential gains from the interest from the people that you're lending to. On the other hand, when you overreach like that, this happens. The other thing they should have done is not given a 10% yield.
Yeah.
You know, I get it. That's admirable of you to want to give that much back to people that are storing their money there. But it would have been, you know, better for everybody to have taken some of that percentage and built up a stockpile that was specifically in reserve to cover withdrawals when something like this happens.
Especially if you're a financial institution that isn't insured, like you have all these other financial institutions that have the FDIC protection so that they can get that bailout. But obviously with the non-regulated space that crypto is in, which don't get me wrong, I enjoy that, they don't have that same safe haven with people. They don't have that kind of insurance. So you're literally playing with your money, like straight playing with it.
Yep. Yeah. Sucky situation. We'll see how it plays out, but don't look good. Don't look good. One other thing that I did want to talk about, because I know it doesn't seem to be getting a lot of attention. I don't want to talk too much about it because I honestly don't know a lot about it. It's really what I've seen from Adam Bergman's been talking about it. The stablecoin on Tron. I don't know if you guys seen anything about that.
Nope.
What's that?
No. So what is it? USDD, I think it's called. So they have an algorithmic stablecoin, which means it's not really backed by assets. It's just an algorithm that tries to peg it to the dollar. And depending on your definition, but more or less it broke its peg. At one point it dipped down to like 91 cents. I think it was at 97. Last I really looked, I think it was a day or two ago, was at 97. At points it was floating around like low 99s. Now a stable coin should be like very close to a dollar. Like it shouldn't fluctuate more than like 0.000 something percent. It should damn near be 99.999 whatever percent. And again, if you're interested to learn more about this situation, go check out Adam Bergman's YouTube channel. He talks a lot about it. But that's scary because of what happened with the other stablecoin when it lost its peg with Luna. That caused problems. So we're keeping an eye on this one with Tron. For whatever reason, it's not getting a whole lot of attention, but it's rocky. There's a massive short positions being taken against it. And what that does is that causes pressure. They're trying to break the peg. And on the other side, they're trying to back it. You know, they're putting more funds in to try to, to back it to offset the shorts that are coming in trying to break it. So, you know, that's something to keep your eye on. Today we're recording this. It's going to air in 3 days or so. I hope by then it's either not broken or it's back to its pegged state and stable as all hell. But watch out for that, because if that does happen, you know, it's going to be some more bad news that we definitely don't need.
Fact.
Yes. All right. So what I did want to, I told you I wanted to circle back to what you were talking about, Paul. And, you know, we seen a certain project company out there that we like, you know, they good people, they're good friends of ours. But, you know, I'm a little salty about the way some of this game is going down. Not to any fault of theirs, but I think we could have performed better. Zach.
You can't do that. That's not allowed. You can't do that.
That was like 2 months ago.
Well, I know. Oh, that's right. You weren't in this last one.
No.
Yeah, I know, but still, I'm still you.
You can't say that.
I can say, because I did watch it, that our team did amazing. They got like, I think 90% of the goals that were scored between all the games. No fault to the team that they were partnered with, but I like to think that our team carried pretty damn good.
I heard the same thing, and don't get me wrong, I'm playing. All right, everybody did great. I know I heard feedback and watched some things from the what game were they playing?
Rocket League.
Rocket League. Thank you. Yeah, so they did an amazing job. So thank you to Mercy, and I believe it was his brother that played in that. Yep. You guys did great. And I'm only busting your balls, Zach. You know, you did a good job, and I know this is that was your second time playing Call of Duty. The first time you did actually really good. This time, you know, whatever. Everybody has their games that you know it happens. But you know,
I told them to bring Apex into the rotation, and we'll have a different talk.
That's true. Again, you'll be doing that with whoever you want to bring in with you. I ain't going near Apex. but of course, we're talking about Nobility and Nobility's tournaments that they run, the gaming tournaments, which again, they do a great job. We love gaming. It's part of technology. We all do it when we have the time to do it, which is much more limited these days. But I like gaming. I think everybody here on the team does. So we appreciate being able to work with and being invited to these things by Nobility. Again, I've been asking, and I'm going to keep asking. I want that Overwatch tournament. Forget about Apex. That's what I'm
talking about.
I want that Overwatch tournament.
So, probably wait until Overwatch 2 at this point.
It's October, man.
Yeah. That's I hope they circle into Overwatch before October.
I hope so.
I think it's supposed to be a month. I believe there's like 4 or 5 rounds, though, and it's supposed to be one each month, so maybe we'll have time for it.
Well, I mean, hey, even if it's Overwatch 2, no big deal. We still got a lineup. We have, you know, as you've seen, we play a little bit of Overwatch after we do the giveaways and stuff on Affinity Fridays. We got a couple of people within the community that would love to hop on that with us and be able to play some Overwatch in a tournament. That'd be fun. Be a good time.
Yeah, I don't mind. I don't mind carrying Ray.
Okay.
What?
Well, nothing. I didn't say anything.
You said that. You said that with the most Eeyore accent I've ever heard.
I didn't. Said, I, all okay. I said was all I said was okay.
Okay.
So I just said okay, man. I'm just saying that we mainly won when I was on heels.
I'm gonna call bullshit on that.
Just saying.
We definitely need one, and you know it's I don't want to wait till Overwatch 2, man. I got all my practice in on the first one.
Well, yeah, you know, but I think that they got Sojourn in the second one. I think you'd like playing her.
You think so? That's not a support character.
No, but so okay, so like you don't necessarily like absolutely love playing Soldier, which is fine.
Yeah,
but so yeah, have you seen the demo for Sojourn?
I have.
So I think the part that you would like about playing her is that rail gun for her that charges up as an alternate fire and as her ultimate ability.
Yeah.
Because you can do some serious damage with that. And I think that with your particular play style, where how you play Ashe, you have the ability to, you know, be taking some shots from far away, which you can be laying down fire with her, you know, normal SMG or machine gun, whatever it is, just like you do with Soldier. And then come time for her ult, just like with Ashe, how you might, you know, come up to get a close area to throw Bob in or to do the dynamite explosion thing. You kind of have the ability to get in a little close and just start absolutely wrecking people with that railgun.
All right, I like
when
that.
I was watching, kinda like Moira. When I was watching some of the guys that were streaming on Twitch when they had the beta, that's basically what they did. And she's quick too. So she has this power slide thing where she kind of like power slides into a jump. So she's very, very mobile. So they'd be able to just be laying down bullets, slide away, get behind cover, pop out somewhere else, lay down more bullets, and then charge up their ult and jump in with the railgun and just absolutely wreck.
So that's cool. So I look forward to everybody playing her when it first comes out, because that's what everybody does. They play the new character that's usually overpowered as all hell.
Yep, she was already overpowered, and even though the analytics was like against it, they still like kind of beefed her up a little bit. They were like, "Oh, we'll decrease her cooldown on her sliding ability."
Oh man!
So you can play her for like 2 weeks, and then she's going to get a hard nerf, and it's going to be a completely trash for another 3 or 4 weeks while they gather more analytics, because you know they can't make small tweaks. They have to do the knee jerk reaction and absolutely make it a detriment to play her in the game from now on.
Oh, of course. Yeah. I swear everybody that works for video game development companies that deal with like PvP, you know, nerfs and buffs, at one point had to have been higher ups in the federal government, because they do the same shit. You know how it is, like, oh, the economy is bad, or we're not in this. So they do like extreme cuts. We're cutting 50% of the military forces. And then like not 2 years later, they're like, oh shit, we have to do this real, you know, beefed up recruiting, whatever, to get everybody to join again because we don't have enough people. And then 2 years later, they cut everybody again. It's just stupid. Same thing.
That's a funny thing about it, though, is you have this like this pretty wide spectrum, right? So like if you take any character's abilities in Overwatch, Overwatch 2, etc., and you set them all to basically 0.1 difficulty, which means it's an absolute trash character, and then you have 100 as the max.
Yeah.
Right. Like typically they're only actually tweaking when they refine better anywhere between like on that scale of 1 to 100 or 0 to 100. They're only tweaking anywhere between like 7 and 13. Those are like the numbers that you stay in between realistically to tweak. Right. So they come out and they start strong with a 12. And they're like, you know what? Way too strong. Bump it down to a 2. And then they're absolute trash. And they're like, oh, you know what? Shit. We kind of messed that up. Get them up to a 38.
Yeah.
And like completely ignoring the fact that they started out less than half of what they're bumping it up to. And then they bump it up to that 38. And they're like, well, fuck me. What the hell happened there? She's way too overpowered again.
Yep.
And it's like, wait, hold on. Aren't you supposed to be smart at this?
Oh man, first world problems, man.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah, but you know, bottom line too is it's cool. I think it's really cool that, you know, there's bridging kind of that gap between gaming and crypto. I know Zach has talked about this in the past with some of the people he knew and connections that spoke poorly about crypto for a number of reasons, and I think most of it is just, some of it is just ignorance. You know, people don't really do a whole lot of research into it. They just hearsay and whatever they see on the news. And, you know, let's face it, a lot of hardcore gamers are gaming maxis. You know, that's technology to them. That's anything outside of that, they don't want to explore. Anything that has to do with gaming is it, you know. So by kind of bridging that gap and bringing in, you know, this ability for all of us that are part of these Unite DeFi projects and all of that to tap into that and start, you know, leveraging the gaming community and leaking our way into it is going to be a good thing for the long haul.
Just because we hiked the price on GPUs.
Yeah, we That's did. Right. We did. Yeah.
Yes, we
yeah,
did.
But
yes.
Yeah,
NVIDIA but had nothing what? To you do would... with that. You know, AMD had nothing to do with that.
No, of course not. No.
I got mad problems with that, though, because I got screwed over on getting a good GPU, all right? So I'm still mad about that.
That's because you were looking in all the wrong places.
No, this is way, way before we even started this project. See, I had me a nice little 1080, or, yeah, it was 1080. No, 1060.
1060, because you had the same one I did.
Yeah. I had a nice little 1060, you know, I was having fun with it, mainly way back when I got the 1060, because when I did a whole rebuild, because the machine I was on couldn't even play GTA 5 without having some problems.
You say
I love that game.
No. Hold up. You say couldn't play GTA 5 as if that's not one of the biggest fucking games that have ever been made.
Oh yeah, and I was doing it with like
take any rig.
Right, and I was doing it with an integrated chipset too. So like obviously I was having some pretty bad performance. So, you know, I went and did a build, threw the 1060 in there, had a good time. Everything was great in the world. And then they came out, you know, because I'm always a model behind. It's just how it is. You know, they came out with their 2000 series. And I was like, man, I literally just put this 1060 in there. I'm not going to upgrade right now. It's not a big deal, whatever. And I had this stroke of what I thought was genius. And I was like, yo, I'm going to wait until they come out with the 3000 series, because then I'm going to be able to go get that 2070 Super. And it's going to be for pennies on the dollar compared to what it is now.
Psych.
Yeah, you know what happened? I think we all know what happened there, because Chris watched it, because like, what was it, Chris? Like three or four weeks before they came out, you got your 2070?
Yeah, and then everybody laughed at me because they announced that the 3080 or whatever was going to be like the same price as the 3070, the 2070 Super, but way more powerful. So like, you dumbass, you just bought it and could have got a better video card. Well, I got the last laugh.
Yeah, I think that's the one time that like the luck actually went your way.
Serious.
Because that happened. And then the rest is history of me just completely whiffing over and over and over on that new egg shuffle until I finally got my card.
Why didn't you just go to Best Buy?
They didn't have any.
Couldn't get them anywhere. So it's not only because of mining. It was right around the time that COVID started coming on too. And everybody was staying home to play video games. So I remember, and there was this big push for a lot of people that were going to be home or lost their jobs or whatever to start streaming to make extra income or do YouTube videos or whatever it is. So all those people went out and bought new video cards. And then the supply chain issue happened with couldn't get chips to make new
video cards. Started having like the silicone issues and like there was a bunch of stuff that went in there. And I honestly think that crypto, because of the weird things that the market was doing throughout that entire beginning of COVID and stuff, I think that crypto just got they took the rap for it. Like, people wanted someone to blame. And instead of saying like, well, hey, I got to blame, you know, I'm not saying blame yourself for having to work from home or something like that. But instead of saying like, hey, well, I'm kind of to blame because I had started working from home and got back into video games and wanted to buy this graphics card. They were like, oh, it can't be my fault. It can't be any of the other hundreds of thousands of people who decided to stay home and play video games fault. There's no way that they're the culprit here. We have to find somebody else.
But you're telling me that the basic economic function of supply and demand is real?
Well, okay, so officially, no, it's all a conspiracy. It has to support the narrative, okay?
It's implied. Yeah, all right, no, from what you're saying, the theory absolutely is real.
The practice is not. I think that it got a bad rap, and I think that, as you know, we're obviously going through a even weirder, more tumultuous spread in the global economy right now, not just U.S. economy but global economy right now. I think that when all is said and done, I was trying to be nice about it, but I think that when all is said and done, and some more stuff just starts leveling out and gets to be a little bit more normal, I think you're going to end up seeing that crypto and gaming are going to really start going hand in hand, because there's so many people that aren't necessarily fans of one and not the other, but they're just fans of technology, and they're very tech. It's both communities are very technology driven in general. So there's no reason why that gaming community should have any kind of adversity towards the crypto community, other than just, you know, someone talking shit as of right now type thing. So I think that as things calm down, you're actually going to see it become more popular for crypto payments to get paid out in tournaments, like how, you know, Nobility is doing with their monthly tournaments and stuff they're doing now, but on a bigger scale. And I think that's going to end up being good for the crypto community as a whole, because that could end up being the catalyst that really starts getting bigger companies to start believing in crypto. Is, you know, a lot of these tournaments are the grand prize is worth a lot of money. I mean, you know, take Valve's Dota 2, for example. Chris, I know you absolutely love that game.
That's great. But,
you know, they have their annual, the international tournament, And I think TI5, so back in like 2015 it was, they finally had a North American team win, but the grand prize just for the winning team was $5 million. And that basically made each player that was on the team a millionaire overnight. And that's like, that was back in 2015. The prize has only gone up from there and it keeps going up. So I think that when you have something as big as that, that's going to hopefully kind of change the tide of where and when crypto is accepted, that's going to be huge for businesses to start actually looking at it, to be accepting it for business relations or business to consumer relations.
I think, excuse me, it comes down to, and I actually got a story about this that just happened this evening. And Chris had mentioned it slightly already, is, and we say it all the time, people just don't understand crypto. They just don't. They don't understand it in its truest form and what it could be used for. The story behind it is this afternoon, I had a little honey-do list to go to. I had to go to the fucking, I had to go to PetSmart. We got a hamster yesterday for my daughter. His name's Gary. He's pretty cute.
That's a good name. I like that.
she picked it. So what do you want to name a hamster? She said Gary. I was like, all right.
Does he have a set of glasses, yo? Because he needs them.
Seriously.
He's thick as fuck, boy. I'd tell you what, he's a big boy. No, so I had to go back to PetSmart. He has to bow up on you? No, honestly, man. I'm surprised if it threw his food. So, you know, we got the... Actually, I don't know who was more happy about it, her or my girlfriend. Like, it was her idea, and then she put it off on my kid. We're just going to give it to her. She picked out everything, and it was arguably it's her pet. Nonetheless, so I had some shit to go do today, and I stopped by. She asked me to pick up some CBD for her, so I stopped by the CBD store. I'd never been there before. You know, I'm sitting there talking to the dude, really awesome personable guy, tried upselling me in the whole store. you can't upsell a salesman. It's just not how it goes, right? But we get to the end, and he gives me his card. I didn't realize that was the owner of the establishment that I was talking to. And I took his card. I saw it was, you know, owner. I was like, oh, you're the owner. And he's like, yeah. I'm like, oh, that's awesome. Like, have you ever, just right off the rip, I didn't even give any fucking context. I was like, have you ever thought about accepting crypto as payment? And he goes, what? And he goes, what? And he goes, no, we already have a deal with somebody, you know, for something. And he was talking about CBD. And I was like, no, not CBD, like cryptocurrency. Like, have you ever thought about accepting a different form of payment, i.e. cryptocurrency? And he goes, oh, no, that, I'm good with that. Don't worry about it. And if anybody knows me, I mean, obviously, I wasn't in my work form or anything, so I can't say I was, I wasn't rude, but I was just like, well, you got to move with the times eventually. And he goes, oh, yeah, well, you're right. And I was like, I mean, honestly, though, man, like at the end of the day, you got to think about expanding your business and how you can move towards the future before it happens.
Yeah.
And he goes, no, I get it. And I was like, well, if you ever want to talk, we'll have a, you know, so we'll sit down and we'll have a call. And I gave my information. But it's exactly that, right? Is that these people just don't understand that it's just another way for them to make money. You know, that's really it, or accept money. And even if they put, and I'm sure it'll come about just like we've seen with MasterCard and all these other payment processors. As we sat down with somebody this week, that was at 3.99%. They put on top of their payment processors.
Yeah.
So the customer doesn't have to see the price. Like they could do that with crypto, you know, as much as it sucks. And that's not what we're trying to go with. That's kind of, I don't want to say against the decentralized way, but when we go more centralized, right. I'd say 95% chance that there's some type of extra tax on top of it for using crypto as payment. And that's just the way, right. You know, some people don't have to worry about it. It's a convenience fee at the end of the day. But again, these people just don't know, right? They don't know yet. It was a very small business, you know, in the area. They could probably be the top CBD fucking store in Concord if they started accepting crypto. Just from that marketing alone, you would take away the other three in the area. I know they would.
Yeah.
You know, they would just get that maybe 10% bump in business that would matter to them. So, you know, as you're looping back to what Paul was saying, and you know, going into gaming as well, so obviously it's a strong suit for us, or I'd say business is more of a strong suit, but gaming is our second. That gaming is the easiest, especially being from the industry myself. I loved streaming for a while. The fucking pay is so bad.
Oh, yeah.
It's just so terrible, you know? So if you have these good reward tokens like ourselves or anything that you can get a genuine passive income from is substantial to these shit pay. Like, honestly, unless you're getting, so it's $3.50 a sub, and it bumps up to $4.50 a sub. That was, I mean, I heard they changed it on Twitch, so it's probably fucking lower. But $4.50 a sub, I mean, even if you have 1,000 subs, that's what, only $450?
Yeah.
What the fuck are you going to do with $450 a month? With 1,000 subs, that's a considerable amount of people watching. And that's saying that you probably have viewers of, you know, a couple thousand, right?
Oh, yeah, because only a percentage of them are going to sub.
Exactly.
It's right? Not like YouTube. You got to pay to sub. It's not like YouTube. You just click a button.
Yes. Yeah. It's shit, dude. It's crazy.
Yeah. And you're right. So it's kind of like that. I actually heard a story about that, like the casino mentality where, you know, you actually, by them exchanging your cash for chips, you're more willing to spend it. I'm sure as time goes on and crypto becomes more of a standardized payment system or standardized form of currency, the mindset will change a little bit. But for right now, most people don't really look at crypto in the same light as pulling $20 out of somebody's pocket. So, for example, and I'm guilty of this, if somebody just came up to me and said, hey man, you know, give me a halfway, could be a true story, I don't know, I said, can you give me $20? And wanted me to pull $20 cash out of my wallet there on the spot. There's a really good chance that I'm going to tell you to go pound sand. But if somebody, you know, like Paul or something's like, hey man, give me $20 in BUSD for X, Y, Z, whatever it is. More than likely, I'm just not even going to give it a second thought. And I'm going to give it to him.
Hey, man, can I get like $20 in BUSD?
Yeah, I knew that was coming. don't DM me asking me for any BUSD because it's just not going to happen.
Are you available?
But, you hey, know.
Just wait till we can send a request and adapt, kid.
Are you? Oh, come on. You got to get the reference. Are you available?
Am I available?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Cryptormant.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, there's some scam accounts going around using my identity. If you see one using any of our identities, we're never going to ask you for any money or feed phrases or anything. Just block them. I don't want your money. None of us do. So it's definitely not us. No matter what sob story I give you that, you know, I'm losing my house or I can't eat or whatever it is, it's not true. And if it is true, I'm certainly not going to reach out to our community to come give me money.
The absolute worst part about that, though, is like, and this is why you can easily detect like the successful scammer versus the never, almost never successful scammer, right? Is if you know anything about Affinity and us four core team members and stuff like that, we're really, really close. Like, talk every single day close, like whether it's texting, phone, both, Discord at night. Like, yeah, like my wife probably thinks I'm having an affair with you, Chris, just so you know.
All right, but I can roll with that.
But we talk constantly. So like if you're going to really try to scam someone to be like, hey, can I just borrow X amount of BNB for an hour and I'll return it? And you're going to try to pose as somebody as important as Chris is within the community. You should know that, like, I should not be your number one go-to DM to try to accomplish this feat. Like, you should be reaching out to anybody other than me, little Chris, or Zach if you're going to pretend to be the old man. Because the only time that Chris DMs me in Telegram is if he needs to DM me something because I've asked for it, and he happens to be sitting at the computer with Telegram open, and it's just the most convenient thing for him to click on to DM me. That's it. Sometimes it's through Discord if he has Discord pulled up. Sometimes it's through text if we're not immediately talking to each other. But like if we're sitting right here and I'm like, hey, Chris, I need you to send me, you know, X, Y, and Z. It's whatever application he has pulled up in front of him at the time. Like if we had fucking Jabber installed on our computers, he'd probably send it through that if he had it pulled up first.
That's true. That's true.
So that's just what cracks me up about that is they're like, oh, get this. I'm going to get this other core team member and I'm going to hit him with the, are you available? Because that sounds exactly like something the old man would say. Because realistically, it would, the initial DM would be something like, hey, bitch.
Hey, fool, you around?
Hey, guy. Like, any of those things. So, like, now I'm really hoping that one of the listeners is one of the scammers. And they're, like, taking notes. They can try to get me over or something like that.
Yep. Next one you're going to get is, hey, son. Son.
Oh, yeah. Come on, son.
You available?
That'd be great. I'd roll, and every time I roll with it too, and I always ask, and I'm like, yo, well, yeah, like I'll send it to your adapt right now, and they're like, oh no, send it to this wall, and I'm like, well, dude, why? And I've asked the question too. I said, why did we waste all of this time making this process easy for me to send you money if you don't want to use it? And like, they never say anything. And I'll admit there was one time that, like, I just didn't feel like dealing with it. And I know it's the same guy over and over just trying to see if he can pull a fast one. And I literally DM'd him back and I was like, yo, man, aren't you just tired of failing at this point? And he immediately blocked me.
Yep. Hey, so last thing, a story that I want to tell you from today, because it's kind of like Zach's, but I didn't talk to the owner. It was just an employee. I don't mean to belittle him by saying he's just an employee, but obviously he's not making business decisions. But I walk into our local vape store, and you know, I went in there today and looking at all the different, you know, juices and stuff. And he goes, I said, hey, I seen one on the shelf. It's called Crypto. So I said, hey, what is that Crypto? Like what flavor, whatever it is. And he starts telling me, and it started with mango. So I'm like, nope, I'm all set. But I said, I had to ask, you know, because, you know, and I went on about crypto, right? And lo and behold, this guy is a crypto investor himself. But again, this is where you just never know, and why these conversations are important with anybody, you know. Never discount any one individual. Never assume that one person isn't worth your time to have a conversation with. So this guy, he goes on about how he owns XRP, and he owns a couple others. I can't remember off the top of my head. And then he starts talking about Cardano after we had a little bit of a conversation as to where we think the market's heading in the short term. He's like, hey, you know, and I have a decent amount of Cardano I hold on to. And he's going on about why and what my thoughts are on it. So then I start explaining to him about what we do. And he really had no idea what smart contracts were or what the difference between a token and a coin was. And we actually sat there and talked for about 15 minutes, and I was explaining some of this stuff to him. And then I told him about Affinity and what we're doing with Affinity. And granted, I have no idea if he's going to end up, you know, investing in it or picking up some Affinity or not. Sure as hell going to ask him next time I go in there. But he did. He said he was going to go do his own research on it, and he's going to look into it. And it was very interesting, especially since we reward pegged Cardano. So, you know, just stuff like that, just opening up a conversation with somebody. And it came just from me asking what crypto juice tasted like. So I thought that was pretty
hey,
funny.
Man, you really want to blow this guy's mind?
What's that?
Later, tell me which store it is, and I'll go down there next week and ask the same question about the crypto juice and just start opening the conversation about crypto. Because, like, it's one thing if it's like, hey, you meet a random crypto enthusiast and you explain to them our project and stuff like that. And if they know a decent amount about crypto, it's actually pretty rare that the entire team is all within like an hour of each other. So it would just be hilarious to me if I go in there just like a week after you do, talk to the same dude and just almost strike up the exact same conversation. That guy's going to get home and be like, yo, what the fuck is going on around here?
And then 2 weeks after that, I'll go talk to him.
Now, you live in the good state for vape use. You don't want to go talk to somebody at a vape store down in Massachusetts, man.
No.
That's true.
It's the one closest to my house. It's the one closest.
Oh, I know exactly which one it is. I know you ain't stopping at the one close to my house unless you absolutely have to.
No. Yeah, so that's where he's at. It was pretty good. He's a good guy. Tell me all about his work history and stuff. It's a good conversation.
Nice.
Yeah. But at any rate, you know, Chris, I know you've been kind of quiet. I don't want to leave you out. If you got something you want to contribute more to the podcast here, well, we end up cutting it. I want to give you the mic, man.
Nah, I was watching this video like about a couple of days ago, and it's basically saying that, you know, games like Cyberpunk or movies like Mad Max and shit like that. Yeah. We already live in that type of society. Like when you see Cyberpunk, you see like all these people, the wealth gap. You see technology. Everybody lives within technology, electronic currency. We're already living in that life. So I don't know if you guys have anything to add on to that either.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I think we're getting there. I think that to me, that was the last point. And thanks for bringing that up, because it jogged my memory, that I was going to make about the why people look at crypto a lot different than fiat when it comes to their willingness to give it up. Or risk it. And I think a lot of that comes down to, we're not at the point yet where we're using it for daily things. Like, I can't go to the grocery store and buy my groceries. I can't pay my electric bill or my mortgage. I think once we get to that point, then absolutely that mindset's going to change. It's going to go from this high, you know, this currency that I'm willing to put high risk into and basically willing to lose it versus something that is absolutely viable for everyday use, even though most of us started by using fiat to get in. So it did, quote unquote, cost you to get into the crypto market with fiat money. Once you get in and it converts to digital money, I think right now, because of that disconnect between its usability and day-to-day life stuff, people are more, you know, loose with it, so to speak. But I think to your point, we're kind of on the brink there, but we're not, because we're not using it in everyday situations at this point, on that respect. But hope that made sense. It made sense in my own head.
Yeah, it's just that it's not normal yet. And, you know, we brought up the parallels before, like when stuff like PayPal first came out and you had the ability to like connect your bank account and stuff like that wasn't popular.
Yeah,
like some of the very first online credit card payment processing wasn't very popular. EFT, or the electronic check, where you essentially put in your bank routing and account number to have it be used as payment. Like,
yep.
When all of this stuff first came out, it wasn't popular. And it's not that it's because it didn't have good utility. It's because people didn't understand it, and they didn't understand how it was going to benefit them. They didn't understand that that's just the direction that technology was moving at the time. So they avoided it. And I would have to, you know, do some more market research to see what kind of catalysts brought on that sort of change, whether it was, you know, more accessible internet, you know, the further development of the smartphone to make it even easier for those kinds of mobile payments. You know, there's a bunch of other things that could have contributed to it. But at the end of the day, what happened is it became more than normal to have this electronic form of fiat payment, whether it's through Cash App or through Venmo, or, you know, people still use PayPal. I mean, PayPal is one of the leading ways that you can pay for a service or a good online. You know, you can even go to Steam. You go to Steam and try to add, you know, funds to your wallet on Steam to buy a game. One of the options is credit card or PayPal. Go right into, you know, log into PayPal, hit pay or add funds or whatever you want to do, and bam, funds are there. So all it really has to do is get the ability to enlighten people on the ease of its use and the legitimacy of its use realistically. And after you have that, it's going to just boom from there.
Yeah, absolutely. I do remember a time before debit cards. And I will tell you, there was a whole lot of people that did not trust it and did not want to use it for many years.
I'll keep writing my checks and take 20 minutes to check out at the grocery store. I'll be damned if that kid's going to steal my piece of plastic.
Didn't want nothing to do with it for years. Took me a long time to get my in-laws to buy anything online with a debit card or even a credit card for that matter. It was just, yeah. So I do remember those times, and I'm seeing it with crypto. It's obviously being adopted a little slower because debit cards tied into the same money system we've been using for years, where this is a whole new money system. So it is a little bit more of a painstaking process, but I'm seeing some of the same signs. But
that's good.
That being said, it is a little bit past the hour or around that time, so we are going to wrap things up. Does anybody have any last-minute comments, last-minute things they want to throw in there before we wrap up this week's Father's Day show?
As always, just stay tuned for Affinity Next Gen. We keep just blasting it out as much as we can so that everyone is aware. Keep your ear to the ground. Come August, we're going to be doing a lot of crazy things. You don't want to be trying to catch up in August. Get some incremental updates. Join us on Affinity Friday. Hit us up in Telegram, Twitter, etc. Make sure you're in the loop. It'll be so much easier.
Yeah, good point. Good point. What about Zach, Chris? Got anything?
Nothing for me.
Again, I just want to say Happy Father's Day to all the fathers out there. And I hope everybody has a really great Sunday if you were listening to this or whenever you may do. Newsletter is obviously going out this week. You'll see that tomorrow morning, early in the morning. So reiterate everybody else said, keep your head up. Market will reverse hopefully soon, but can't stay down forever.
Yeah, man. And the last thing I will say before we cut this off is don't forget the Affinity Floaties are still out there. We do have, I don't know how many. But go check it out at deviouslicks.io and don't miss out on your opportunity to win one of five $10,000 BUSD prizes. I know the market sucks right now. Not asking you to go out there and invest any more than you do not have available. But if you do have the funds available, you do want to be part of this. Don't forget, you will also get an additional, is it 125 or 150? I can't remember.
150.
Oh, I don't 150. Remember.
You will get an additional 150 worth of Affinity tokens right before the migration. So, I mean, and we're going to do some. So we don't know exactly what yet, but we're going to be looking for further utility for these NFTs. No promises as to what it will be at this point. But
and owning those NFTs gives you your own perks. Having one before the cutoff gave you beta access to the Adapt mobile app. And we're going to constantly be catering towards NFT owners for exclusive access to some stuff.
Yeah. And there's only 250 that will be minted of these things. We're not an NFT quote unquote project that's going to be minting thousands and thousands of NFTs all the time. So these are very limited. So again, I don't want to talk anybody into going out and spending any funds that they don't truly have available. But if you do, please check it out. And lastly, I do want to give another a big thank you, as always, to Bo and the folks at DV Radio. Check them out, dvradio.net, especially if you are a veteran or have family that's veterans or just support and care about the veteran community. They do a lot. They are a veteran-owned broadcasting station at dvradio.net. Again, check them out. Thank you for everybody there for hosting us and helping us out with this Affinity Protocol podcast. And that is going to be it for this week's show. Happy Father's Day to everybody. And we will see you in 2 weeks.
Later.
Have a good day.
Hit us up on Facebook and Twitter.
That's all, folks. Goodbye, motherfucker!
From all of DV Radio, Happy Father's Day.
Radio.